Dear Lord, you made many, many poor people. I realize, of course, it's no shame to be poor, but it's no great honor either. So what would have been so terrible if I had a small fortune? If I were a rich man, yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum, all day long I bidi-bidi-bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard, yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum. If I were a bidi-bidi-rich, idle-diddle-diddle-diddle man.
Now, you may wonder why we're playing a bit of that snippet from the song from Topole, If I Were a Rich Man, even. Well, this coming Sunday, the 27th of January, is International Holocaust Memorial Day. And I've been joined today by Moira Dare Edwards, who's been a regular guest on Phoenix FM for the past few years, as she's been closely involved in organising loads of the events commemorating the occasion. And today, Moira's been joined by her friend, Janie Argent, who's also been heavily involved in the organisation of this year's exhibition. So first off, welcome to both of you, and perhaps we can start out by finding out just when and how you both became involved in this. Janie, you're going first.
Thank you very much, Scott. About 9 years or 10 years ago, I got in touch with Moira to ask her about the organisation that she represents in Essex, the Christian Friends of Israel. And I've been involved with the group ever since then.
Right. And Moira?
Well, about 15 years ago, I started to do this.
Hang on, we just want to get you a bit closer to that mic. It doesn't lean down like that.
Is that better?
That's a lot better.
Okay.
Thank you.
About 15 years ago, I started to do this because it was something very much on my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then International Holocaust Memorial Day was declared to be the 27th of January for every year.
Mm-hmm.
So as part of Christian Friends of Israel, we have been doing this for the last 15 years. And then one particular meeting, we met members of the small Brentwood Jewish community, and decided to do this together in the spirit of support and friendship. And it's rather grown like Topsy ever since. So we used to do small exhibitions with a friend who already had some very good ones, but then we decided to create our own, and that's where Janie and our other friend Lynn came in, basically.
And so perhaps we can move on to the events and speakers that you've got planned for this year.
Thursday and Friday,
right,
we have the exhibition in the United Reformed Church, which is opposite Brentwood Library. That's where the exhibition will be on display each morning from 9:30 till 4.
Mm-hmm.
We have some schools booked in to go round the exhibition, but members of the general public are very welcome to come. And then each morning, Thursday and Friday at 11 o'clock, we have a Holocaust survivor speaker speaking to one or two invited groups, but general public may come to that as well.
All right.
Same venue, but 11 o'clock, that is.
Right, so anybody can come in. Do they have to book? Yeah, if you've got the schools coming in.
No, they don't have to book. Obviously, the schools going around the exhibition are going to be directed or taught, doing activities. But I'm. It's always worked out okay before,
right,
for public to sort of, you know, meld in, whatever the word is.
Right, okay. And so the exhibition is open between 9:30 and 4 p.m. on both the Thursday and Friday. And you've got the speaker at 11 o'clock on both days, is,
yeah,
that right?
Yeah.
Right. And then on Saturday morning, you've also got you're open as well, but there's no speaker then?
No speaker, but the exhibition is open. We have no booked groups, so anyone can come, and that's between 10:30 and 1 on the Saturday.
And that is that also at the United Reformed,
yes,
Church?
Yes, same venue.
Right.
Yep.
Because you move the exhibition at some point, do you not?
Yeah, we then move it around the middle of the day to Brentwood County High School,
right,
where we set it all up, and we're open from 5 o'clock with the exhibition, and obviously there won't be quite so much space. It would be better to see the exhibition in the other venue, but it will be there for an hour and a half before we have the commemoration meeting at 6:30 on Saturday.
So that's going to be fun, moving everything, I can imagine.
It is great fun, but we enjoy it. We stop for lunch together and, it takes a lot of organisation, but we manage it.
And Janie, you're the creator and organiser of the actual exhibitions this year, aren't you? So perhaps you can tell us a little about that and the speakers that you've got.
Well, we don't have any speakers, but we feature different heroes. So we are sort of representing the heroes.
Oh, so that's different. Yes, that's separate.
That's right, yes. But this is all going on at the same time. So each year we try to make the exhibition different from the year before. Mm-hmm. And we think it's especially important to make it interesting and relevant to the school children who come to visit with their school classes. Another member of the group, Maura mentioned, Lynn Wilkie, she's especially skilled in making the exhibits very thought-provoking for the children and appealing for them. She's a real ideas person, a real gem to us.
What sort of exhibits do you actually have?
The exhibits, we have a mixture of real artifacts.
Right.
Lots of items that we bring together, and we create a scene for each of the true stories. So we're actually featuring six different heroes, and we show four of those, four scenes which we create using artifacts and various objects. Some of them are artifacts, some of them are replicas, but they are just things that we create this scene to stir the imagination of our visitors, both the adults and the young. And we find that the children really enjoy this aspect of the exhibition. It makes it all come to life for them.
I mean, when you say that you've got these things coming to life, do you have exhibits that almost recreate anything like the scenes or the lifestyle that people would have suffered?
That's right. We have a board up for each of the exhibits which tell the story in words, but we try to tell the story as well in with these items. So yes, we create scenes that are objects from the life that they would have had, and the. Without actually telling you a whole story, it's quite difficult to explain.
Well, it must be.
Yeah, but yes. So, for example, there are two sisters called Louisa and Ida Cook, who were mad about opera, and that took them into Germany before the war started. And so we've got a real old gramophone from that time, with some real old records, and various items that bring that story to life. And they actually started to smuggle back furs and jewels for the Jewish people, because the Jewish people weren't allowed into Great Britain without anything to keep them going, without having any money. And of course, Hitler had taken all their wealth, all their goods, all their money away from them. So the British government would not allow them into this country without having something to support themselves. So these furs and diamonds were banked into their name, but they were smuggled in by these two sisters. So we have all these, we have those sort of things on display.
But those two sisters were, you say, they were in Germany, were they?
No, they were very ordinary young girls. They were sisters, and they had jobs as typists, and so they used to sort of dash over at their weekends just to see the opera stars. They were just initially they were just mad about opera, and it wasn't until later on that they started to understand and realise what was happening to the Jewish people, because opera was that was where to go. Austria and Germany was the place to go to see the opera. And so they suddenly realised, their eyes were opened really, to what was happening to the Jewish people. This was pre-war, and Jewish people were desperate to leave Germany. But no country in the world would accept them, barely. Hardly any country would take them in, because they had nothing to support themselves.
So how did they get these goods out?
They wore them. They just wore them. Had that panache. They went over from England with very little, and then came back wearing these furs and these jewels. And because they looked so ordinary, the customs people thought they were probably just fakes. and they were real diamonds.
Right. Now, you do have speakers.
Yeah, so there are two sides of the coin.
Right.
So the heroes are the English people. They're all English, aren't they, I think?
Apart from one. Apart from one, yes.
Yeah. Mm. So they're the ones that helped the Jewish people. So the heroes of the Holocaust, they were heroes because they helped the Jewish people. The speaker...
And they were based basically in the UK, were they?
Yeah, as Janie said, going over to Germany.
Right.
And then Ruth Barnett, who is speaking on Thursday and Friday, was a refugee. She came over on the Kinder Transport,
right,
aged 4. Her father, she lived in Berlin. Her father, I believe, was Jewish. I think her mother was not Jewish.
Right.
And so she was rescued. And then she just got integrated into English life. But then she had to go back to Germany. And then she wanted to come back to England. And basically, she found herself stateless. So one of the books that she's written is called Person of No Nationality. She was a displaced person.
Mm-hmm.
And it describes her fight to become a person of nationality. She's now British.
Mm-hmm.
She became Jewish as well. She converted. And her story shows how it is possible to recover from trauma and become an inspiration to others.
Mm-hmm.
So she will inspire our youngsters with her story. Also give our youngsters an understanding of the present refugee problem.
Indeed.
People who come over and maybe they haven't got a state anymore.
Mm.
And our speaker on Saturday night is Leslie Kleinman, who comes from Southend. Now, his is a different story from Ruth's. He was in Auschwitz. He was on the death marches.
Mm-hmm.
He went through hell. He went through so much. And yet at nearly 90, he might even be 90, I forget, he's just such a lovely person. He doesn't show any bitterness. He relates brilliantly to our young people. He's very inspirational. And again, he has a real rapport with them. And the children really learn lessons from him. He encourages them, when the children hear him, he encourages them to write letters to him to say what they've learned.
Right.
He will obviously be speaking to a predominantly adult audience on
Saturday
night.
Saturday evening, yeah.
But nevertheless, he's a very dear man, accompanied by his wife,
mm-hmm,
who has written a poem about all those that they have loved and lost. And they are just inspirations to all of us, for people who've gone through dreadful things. It puts what we go through into perspective, into the shade. I mean, I often, if I'm really, really cold, like, well, today's not so bad, yesterday, I think of Leslie on that death march, barefoot probably, in those infamous pyjamas, walking through the snow. We don't know where we're born.
You can't imagine it. You can't imagine it, can you?
Not at all. So they are all inspirational in their own way.
Now, I don't particularly want to point the finger because, as we know, the Holocaust resulted in the extermination of 6 million men, women and children, of which over 1 million were children. And because of the rise of the Nazis, we tend to look at this as the sole responsibility of the Germans. But in truth, it was a much wider issue, was it not? Because this was laid bare when the Nazis overrun other European countries, and I'm guessing that if this country had been invaded, the same fate would have been suffered as the Jewish people here. Is that not true?
One of the exhibits that we show is a story of a Jewish man called Wilfried Israel.
Yes.
And let me read a quote from him. He said, "The first European nation to be invaded by the Nazis was Germany."
Yeah.
And I think that's really thought-provoking.
Yes.
And yes, it wasn't. We're not pointing the finger at German people.
No.
When we're talking to the school children, we find it very useful to use a timeline, and we explain to them how many factors came together during the period between the First and the Second World War, between the two wars, that created the environment for Hitler to sow his seeds of discontent into a very disgruntled nation. They were already going through tremendous hardship. And And that, so he sowed these seeds of anti-Semitism, and these seeds took hold and festered, and thus, sadly, that allowed Hitler and the Nazi regime to come to power. And yes, it is in those sort of circumstances that sometimes those sort of seeds of anti-Semitism can be sown, and as we
and
say,
and then they grow regrettably. Yes. Mm. Now, the events we're commemorating, of course, date back a very long time, but sadly, I fear, and you've just touched on it, that intolerance of others is still very much on the rise again. So perhaps it's now more important than ever to remind ourselves not just of the risks of allowing such attitudes to grow, but what the ultimate results can be.
Absolutely. But so we want to commemorate the Holocaust in particular, because it is the longest and the oldest hatred, 2,000 years plus.
Yes.
And the Jewish people in particular are still being persecuted. We can see that with the rise of anti-Semitism.
Yes. Yes.
We draw lessons from that, but and we commemorate the genocides of Cambodia and Rwanda. But the Holocaust was unique to the Jewish people because it was an attempt by Hitler, he was the embodiment of that sentiment, to exterminate the Jews. They were vermin to him.
Yes.
And as Janie said, in that context, he was able to rise to power. But it also, sadly, was based on his perception of Martin Luther. Mm-hmm. Now, we all think of Martin Luther and the Reformation. Brilliant thing that he did. But at the end of his life, Martin Luther got very frustrated with the Jewish people because they would not convert to Christianity. And he wrote a treatise called Of the Jews and Their Lies. And Hitler thought, a Christian against the Jews. And he took that as his platform. We don't remember Luther like that.
No, we don't.
But he did have those thoughts at the end of his life. Mm. And of course, it wasn't just the Jews. Hitler wanted a pure Aryan race. And so it was the handicapped and the gypsies. And our speaker, Ruth Barnett, has a particular heart for the gypsies. And that's all good and well.
Yeah.
But we the Holocaust is unique to the Jewish people, so we like to take that opportunity to stand with our Jewish friends to show them that we support them, we will fight for them. In these days of rising anti-Semitism, it's good for them to know they have friends.
Absolutely.
We are Christians, and that is very important to us.
Okay, well, so to recap, the events start on Thursday. Would you like to just remind us again of the dates and times and all of the locations?
Okay, so Thursday morning, the exhibition is open at the URC Church opposite Brentwood Library from 9:30 till 4.
Right.
And Ruth Barnett is speaking from 11 till 12. Anyone thinking of coming, I would recommend they get there about 10 minutes early.
Yep.
And on Saturday at the URC from 10:30 till 1, no speaker, but people are welcome to come and browse the exhibition. There will be books on sale as well, and we will be there to chat to people.
And Ruth Barnett's there on Friday as well.
She's there on Friday, both those
Thursday
days.
Thursday and Friday,
And then on Saturday evening from 5 o'clock, people can come in at Brentwood County High School into the main hall at 5 o'clock to see the exhibition, and then hopefully stay on for the meeting of commemoration at 6:30, at which Leslie Kleinman will be speaking. Our MP and our mayor will be present. Our Jewish community will be present.
Right.
We have a little ceremony of lighting candles, 6 candles, represented by different parts of our community, and a minute's silence. It's a thoughtful occasion.
Very much so.
And everyone is very welcome to come, and refreshments at the end. And we have a bookstall as well.
Fair enough. Okay, well, thank you very much indeed for that. Any other comments you wanted to to raise. Well, thanks very much indeed for that. We hope that we're going to see you again, perhaps this time next year as well.
I'm sure you will.
Okay, right. Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
From across my face, it's just the old man and me, washing his truck at the Sinclair station in the land of the free. His mother, Adeline's family, came on a ship, cut coal and planted a seed down in them drift mines of Pennsylvania, in the land of the free.
Land of the free, land
in the
of
land
the
of the free.
Land of the free, land of the free, land of the free, land of the free, in the land of the free.
When I go out in my if you're the wrong color skin,
I'm standing right here.
You grow up looking over both your shoulders in the land of the free. And we got more people locked up than the rest of the world, right here in red, white, and blue.
I'm standing right here.
Incarceration's become big business. It's harvest time out on the avenue. Problem with guns.
I'm standing, crying.
People who just want the same.